Let's take our swords. Father, I have your word and I know it's true. I am what it says I am. I can do everything it says I can do. And I have everything it says I have. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we started talking about vision. And the basic premise of last week's message was threefold. Who can give me one basic premise that I was trying to bring home? Jess. And now I'm waking you up, girl. You weren't here. That's no excuse. We got it on the web. Oh, my goodness. And who was here last week? Who could give me one? And I don't want to hear. I don't remember, Pastor, but it was sure good. Just one. I'm hinting. What? Come on, Owen. Why? Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Vision, in its basic, is the ability to see. Spiritual vision is being able to see the spiritual realities that God wants us to see and apply spiritual principles so that those spiritual realities will birth into this physical realm. That's the whole point of vision. If our vision is impaired, as long as we're trying to be in the driver's seat of our lives, remember I said that? And also our vision is skewed because our windshield is messed up. Today we're going to talk about the Giants, that the San Francisco Giants or the New York Giants. No, New York Giants stink. So that's my brother-in-law. But we're going to talk about the Giants. We're going to talk about how these Giants impair our vision. But we're really not real with God about the vision, because we still want to drive our car off the cliff. Remember I said we're so busy with Thelma and Louise attitude that we want to still drive our car because we can't see what's coming. We drive off the cliff. And then all of a sudden we run to God. We get up here to the emergency glass. We break the glass and we say, God, put the fire out. Put the fire out. And when he does, we go right back to what we're doing. Well, I want to begin to expose these giants. And last week I stated in Proverbs 29:18, where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. And I explained a little bit about what that scripture means and how it looks in reality. But where we're going, we need to understand that we need prophetic vision. If we don't have prophetic vision, it's one thing to have it, it's another thing to understand it. And a lot of people have prophetic vision, and they run out, and their windshield is still messed up. Why? Because they're not letting God drive. And so some of the stuff is coming along. Their mind is where it's at. But we have to understand that prophetic vision isn't just for the individual, it's for the church. Prophetic vision is given to the church to accomplish the prophetic will of God in the land so that he can establish our will. Right? No? No? He wants to establish his will. That is the whole purpose of the church. And what God is doing in the land right now, he is shaking our trees. He is shaking your life and my life, even as we speak. And so we need to see clearly what God is doing. And finally, I spoke about our attitudes. Our attitude is the seed base for vision. If we have a negative attitude, we have negative thoughts, we have a negative belief system, we then act negatively, bad behavior, right? And from this bad behavior, as we continue multiplying this bad behavior, what is the result? The result is loss of vision or little vision accomplished. But if we begin to start agreeing with God, start seeing things that the way God sees, our attitude changes. It's a positive attitude. We then begin to start thinking positively about our situations. We begin to energize those thoughts into positive belief systems. From positive belief systems, we then enter into positive decisions, which enter into to good actions. Those good actions become good habits for us. Eventually, we fulfill the vision, God's vision. And the funny thing is, as we're fulfilling His vision, God fulfills the vision that He puts in us simultaneously. Faithful is He who calls you, who will also leave you hanging. Now, what's that scripture say? Faithful is He who calls you, who will also do it. So, the sooner that you begin to slide over and get into the passenger seat, the sooner God takes over and begins to build your life. And let's face it, we're in the pickles of our lives for the reason that we've had bad decisions. We've had bad negative thoughts. We have not had the mind of Christ in what we're doing, correct? Stinking thinking has stinking actions. And what we believe, we say. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth keeps silent. Man, I must have a different Bible or something. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, where does vision start? Where does it start? Vision starts here. Has to start in your heart. Huh? Vision starts in our heart. So let's turn to 1 Peter 5. We'll read verses 8 through 10. And then we'll start exposing these giants. I'm reading from the Message Bible. It's a paraphrase, but I like this translation. We're there. 1 Peter 5, starting in verse 8. It says, keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You are not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. So keep a firm grip on the faith. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God, who has a great plan for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans that they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. That's God's promise to you. And what we have to understand, that there are giants in the land. The biblical expression is when Joshua was telling Israel, Moses had died, Israel was beginning to prepare to cross the Jordan River. And Joshua was continuing with the vision of God. Okay? God has told us probably for the last 18 months to get ready. He has told us that we're going to be crossing the Jordan. He has told us the size of the land, the territory that we're supposed to take. But we also understand there were 12 tribes of Israel that took that land. We are now standing at the Jordan River. Your vision has to line up with His will. And this scripture is very clear and announces your position in Jesus Christ. In that, are you awake or are you asleep? Do you have motives, attitudes, thoughts that are contrary to His vision? Or do you want to live your vision? See, the problem today is, what I see is, it's not so much casting vision. And I can cast vision. I see very clearly what God wants to do. What I am learning is to get out of the way, stay in the passenger seat, and let God do His thing. These giants that we all have to face are real. But we must stay vigilant because we have sent spies into the land. And those spies have come back and they have given us a report. And that report signifies how good this land is. But some of us want to stay on this side of the Jordan and don't want to cross over. And there are some that are looking to cross the Jordan, but they want to step on the stones not to get wet. Anytime I see somebody trying to step on stones not to get wet, they usually fall in. So isn't it better just to get in? God has a glorious plan for your life and the life of Streams. And this life of what He wants has to line up with the plan that God has for Streams. You can't have your plan and then God's plan. It can't work that way. So you have to reconcile if you're going to maintain staying in the driver's seat or you're going to slide over. Staying in the driver's seat, we're going to listen to everybody else's opinions. We know better than anybody else. We're in control. You know, all these lies that the devil says. And we will continue to drive down the highway of destruction. Because wide is the way, path to destruction. And narrow is the way that leads to life. What are these giants that we are going to be facing, that we are facing, that are we are battling in our own strength with? And there's five. I'm only going to deal with five, but I'm not going to cover them all today. It's just too much. These giants are change, problems, discouragement, fear, and failure. Yes. These problems are change, problems, discouragement, fear, and failure. These giants are assaulting our vision every day. Every day. For the whole point of keeping you in the driver's seat to make you think, one, that you're okay, or two, sending a spirit of fear of man to keep you from getting out of the driver's seat. And so what we need to understand is that in order to have vision, you must have a warrior's mindset. You are a warrior of the Most High God. Remember I said you're supernatural beings? And in order to fulfill this vision, you must cultivate a warrior spirit. How do we do that? Well, one area, of course, is anytime the body of Christ gets together, we need to be there. We need to get built up. We need to be encouraged. We need to be exhorted that all things are possible through Christ Jesus. Everything is possible. Okay? Again, change. So I have to read. Problems, discouragement, fear, and failure. And as we drive, as we've been driving down this highway of life and we pulled into the Jesus rest stop, How many of us have driven down the road and a bird smashed our windshield, or someone threw a stone into our windshield? How many of us have hit people and they messed up our windshield? No, I'm not advocating that. And that's what God was trying to get me to draw here, is this impact of this first giant. Okay? Which causes the spiders to mar the windshield and mar our vision. But yet we're busy. We're driving down the road. And this first giant is change. It is the biggest, it is the baddest giant in the land. Ooh. And we're afraid to change. And so what we do is we believe the lie that Satan puts on us, in that I don't have to change today. I can work and I got time to change later. It's a lie of procrastination. I love God, but I love myself more. And so, in order to change, I have to begin to agree with God. Isn't that what repentance is? It's kind of funny that our kids are learning that now. Vision starts within our heart. But only are we able to see vision in our minds. And this is where the enemy comes to fight us. And we need to be prepared, one, to receive God's vision, and two, to be willing to do it. But it's not enough to be willing to do God's will. You have to do it. And there lies the problem. Because not many of us are willing to do what is required of us to fulfill His vision. Because we don't trust God. That's the lie. Did God say? We have to change our way of thinking so that we can change the way that we're seeing, in order to begin to mobilize our faith to allow God to appropriate the change in our lives. We walk by faith, not by sight. Walking is an action. You have to see where you're walking, or you will trip and fall down, scrape your knee, all this other stuff. Blind, that's why blind people have a cane. We're blind people without the cane. And that's the truth. Because in our fallen nature, we resist change. And in our fallen nature, because we're not willing to accept our supernatural nature, we always revert back to what is comfortable. Change takes us out of our comfort zones. Change always brings a challenge or an opportunity that will better us. And what we do is we resist God's willingness to bring change in the life to make us better, to make us like Jesus Christ. Remember, we're to be Christ-like. So in order to have vision, you have to see where you're going. You have to see what the goal is and understand that if I want that goal, if I want to be Christ-like, I have to change. Bible says you have to die. And this giant doesn't want you to die. It has impacted your windshield in such a way to make you believe that I'm going to change. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have all this stuff. But do you change because you're saying this? No. That's nothing more than fantasy or desire. That is not the reality of walking after the Spirit. It is not the reality of fulfilling our Father's vision. He sees you already complete. But the only way that you're going to be complete is to walk with Him, in Him, and Him in you. The closer you are to Him, the more He speaks to my spirit, the more He brings revelation to my mind. As I have understanding of His plan, He motivates my flesh to do His will. God is spirit. He needs a body in order to accomplish His will. But He is not like Satan. He will not violate your will. He will use you as long as you are willing to be used. But willingness to be used and being used are two different steps. Change is something that we need to embrace. Think about where you were a year ago and the changes that God has brought into your life, and understand that these changes are for your good. Okay? Think about it. What has God done in a very small way to bring about change in your life? Did He bring change? How did He bring change? Why did He bring change? What does He want to do to continue this process of change in order to make you that woman of God? Well, I don't believe that, Pastor. You know, I'm just 13 years old. And, you know, what do I know? God's Ancient of Days. He knows everything. If you're not seeking Him, you don't get His mind. If you don't get His mind, you don't see things the way He sees things. You don't agree with Him. You don't do things the way He wants things done. And so what you do is you become a willing participant that will continue to shatter your windshield, and you'll never accomplish that purpose that God has made you for. You may do your own vision, and you may have certain aspects of that, but the body of Christ is hurt because of it. I gotta work. I got this to do. I got that to do. We got so much to do that we need to stop, drop, and roll out of it and stand for Jesus Christ. I may lose my job. I told my boss, I'm not available. They tested me. I wasn't available. They brought me in. I said, I warned you. I told you that I'm chasing after God. Nothing is going to stop me from chasing after God and accomplishing His will. Well, then what we're going to do with you, Styles, is you are now responsible for all schedule changes. Okay. That doesn't make me available anymore, but if I'm responsible, then I take it. Why? Because God satisfies me. As I take on responsibility, I just go to Him. Father, You see what they're doing. Turn this thing around. Let them know that You're on my side. I take my hands off it in Jesus' name. I get in the passenger side. God does it. He works. And what had happened was some of my schedule, I didn't go to anybody. I just prayed. God brought a guy to me who could work a portion of my schedule, who asked me if it would be okay to switch. Well, of course, Sundays is the big day. And I had to work Sundays, Sunday nights, graveyards. Ed is experiencing that tremendous shift change. And this guy came to me and said, look, I have this need. Can you do this for me? if you do this for me? Can you work my Sundays? Yeah, I can work your Sundays. I got some big stuff going on Saturday. I said, okay, you work my Sundays, day, night, whatever. I'll work your Saturdays. Problem solved. God did it. So your schedule is not impossible with God. It's willing to change and then do something. What I did was I sought Him. I prayed. I believed God, and that's the end of the story. He did it. I was willing to lose my job to chase after God. But God knows that's not what He wanted at the time. And so He used that opportunity in which to reinforce my faith in Him. Another reason why we don't embrace change is because we don't want to pay the price for change. See, there's always a cost. I lost friends. I lost family members because I wasn't willing to compromise my value system. Remember I said to be a Christian, it's going to cost you everything that you are and everything that you have. And that reality is now what you're facing. Because now God is saying to you as He's shaking your tree, are you willing to pay the cost? There is going through the body of Christ this feel-good message that God wants us happy. He doesn't want us to suffer. He doesn't want us to feel pain. But God loves us so much that He wants to deliver us from that. Is that Bible? Partially. Because my Bible talks about sacrifice. My Bible says death to self. My Bible tells me that all is His. I don't have ownership of anything. I have stewardship of everything. I don't see where I'm to stay in comfort and luxury. And if it's God's will to bless me in that way, I'm to use those things to influence and spread the kingdom for His glory. And so when this message is going forth, a lot of us know this pastor. I'm not going to make mention of his name, but he has a fairly large church, and he preaches a message that is feel good. Because after all, God wants His people to feel good. And there was a pastor in Florida that went on Facebook and said, "You're preaching idolatry. You need to repent." And he's right. We need to repent of the idolatry that we're holding because we value ourselves more than we value God. Let's face it. That's why we don't change. We believe we're okay. But guess what? You embrace change the moment you called out to Jesus and received Him. Is that not true? He wants to change your sorry life into something beautiful. He wants to bring people into your life to benefit you. But He's not going to do it if you have strings attached to every condition in your life. You must cut the cords and begin to stand in Jesus Christ. And this giant doesn't want us to. This giant of change smashes our vision, and it stuns us for a second, but we proceed. Like, oh, what was that? I woke up for a split second, but I'm on cruise control. I'm doing good. Another area that's required of us is to destroy traditions. Well, we've always done it this way, Pastor. I don't understand why you want to change this. Well, let's sit down and I'll talk. You see, the Holy Spirit is running the show here. He wants to change. I'm not in for good ideas. You see, when it's spirit, it bears witness to my spirit. Thereby, it must be God. When it's not, when it's a good thought or a good intention, we know that those things are paving the way to hell. I believe God has said this to me, Pastor. I believe God wants to do that for me. But you're not showing the actions that's required to fulfill that vision. Because there's always something more pressing, more important. And then we attach God's name to it to identify that we have His authority to do this. Do you not understand how serious that is? That's taking the Lord's name in vain. Really. We're equating an empty promise to the Word of God and attaching His name as though it's justification to do this. Faith without works is dead. And in the body of Christ, it's not going to be given to you just because you've been in the church for 20 years. Well, I've been here, you know. The church doesn't run by seniority. That's a fallen state. People are not elected to positions. That is a fallen state. You may think that's government, and we do need government, but that's not God's government. He rules. He has people in eldership that rule over the things and helps people in their lives to get on the page with God. And because we don't want to pay the price, because we're embracing the traditions, we rebel, not against me, we rebel against God because He wants to drive. And then we expect God to do something when it's not working out for us. Really, think about what's going on in your life and how much we are resistive to change. And we embrace those who come into our lives who want to bring a negative change that is contrary to the will of God. Oh, they're going to be mad at me. They'll get over it. I would rather have them be mad at me than God discipline me for my disobedience. I'm afraid of God because I know what He can do. Traditions, holidays, things, you know, I'm not saying all traditions are bad. What I'm saying is when that's the crux of your makeup so that you do not change, you're allowing that giant to control your life. Here's some simple truths I want you to come away with. Change starts in you first. God speaks to my spirit. That's where it starts. We get it backwards. We want God to work on the outside first. Change my situation, God, and I'll follow you. Or some sort of vernacular. We're pretending to want change. And we're trying to coax God when He looks at our heart and sees how wicked it is. We don't want change. We want Him to change our situation. But we don't want to change. God, fix this for me. I've really screwed up. I'm sorry I screwed up. But if you would fix this, well, I need to fix you first. I'm good, God. You know, I've made some mistakes. I've repented, you know. But you need to take care of this for me. Change starts in you before it comes and manifest. Everything in vision, everything in prophetic starts here in your spirit. You need healing? It has to be healing in you first. You have to believe God wants to heal you. If you're confessing and cursing sins upon yourself, I can't do this. I'm hurting here. I'm doing that. You know what? You're cursing yourself. You're allowing the curse that God has cleansed you from by the blood of the Lamb to break that yoke over your life. If you want it, that's what you're going to have. Satan wants to keep us in the driver's seat. He wants us to sit in comfort and in rut to destroy our lives. Satan comes to rob, to steal, and destroy. And the longer you stay in the driver's seat, the more susceptible that your life is going to be destroyed. But Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly. He came to bring change. He came to give us a new life. We want it, but we don't want it. The other thing is that change is always happening, whether we like it or not. Most of us don't like the change. I got my hand up. I don't like it. I've learned to die to it. It's always going to change. It's always morphing. Why? Because change leads to the next giant. You must commit wholly to the commitment of change and pay the price. You can't say you're willing until you commit, and then that commitment must be walked out. By their fruit you shall know them. I know who's real and who's not real. Why? By your fruit. You're producing fruit. And in this season that we're in, where God is shaking, you have to understand why He's shaking. After that season of shaking, there's pruning. If you know anything about trees, that's what happens. Because He wants to prune you, not to hurt you, but to produce more fruit. So you have to change. I have never seen a person who trimmed a tree that the tree remained the same. It never, unless it's a bonsai. And then they're cutting the roots. You have to change. What God says vision says it's good. Vision says you have to change. Vision that speaks this way is equated to growth. God wants to grow you. Our fallen estate says, self says, that vision results in change, which means it's grievous. It's horrible. I don't want change because it's going to hurt. Well, how's your life working out for you right now in pretending to want the things of God? In doing what other people say to do? In alienating yourself from the Spirit of God? How's it working? Listen, I know that change is coming. But it's here now. You have to change. The reason for the change is so that we can go through the River Jordan, the baptism of death, so that we come out the other side in a life filled with Jesus Christ Not so that we're happy and all, but we take the city. And the longer we play around, the more we see friends committing suicide. The more we see family members embracing death, premeditated. The more our home lives fall apart. The more the civility of our tongue not to address behaviors, because we're not supposed to. That wouldn't be Christ-like. You don't know Jesus. Jesus came to change and challenge all of us. And He's not going to settle for anything less. You're going to change one way or another. Me, the way I changed, I changed kicking and screaming. I don't advise that for you guys. But I came. Change is a giant that must be brought down. Change is standing in your way. What are you going to do to that giant? Are you going to try to circumvent? Because that all that giant does is just turn as you're going around him. And you'll never enter into the things that God has. Are you going to pretend that he's not there? He'll just mock you. That's what Satan does. He mocks us in front of God. You call them a Christian? You died for them? This is serious stuff, guys. It's your life and the life of the church. We're to die to bring life to those who are hurting, those who are still trapped in bondage. But they don't want to hear. That's not the option. You didn't want to hear either. You don't want to hear this, what I'm saying, because it's a bitter pill. But you know, it's right. As we expose these giants, we have to take these giants down. And if we can't do it by ourselves, well, how many came back with a good report? Two. Jesus and you make a majority. But then, you see, there's something wonderful that Ephesians says. He's the head, we're the body. And he brings us all together to take that giant down. So it's us and Jesus, not me and Jesus. Because left to my own device, for this change, I'm going to steal God's glory. But if we do it His way, we get out of the driver's seat, we find out what He says in His Word, and we start aligning, change happens. Alignment is action required to bring change. If what is not working for us today, and we've been doing it for a while, we need to change our strategy. But I don't want to change my strategy. Have more of the same. As for me and my house, me and this house, we're going to serve God. That's not a threat. That's truth. I'm the Joshua. Unfortunately, maybe, or maybe fortunate for you guys, I don't know how, you know. I'll do this. I see potential in you. As my nose is not growing, I do see the potential. And you have to see the potential that God has in you. It is dwelling in you. There are things that you can do that I can't do, that I need you to do. There are things that you can't do that you need me to do. And so there's this interconnection that has to happen to help bring this giant down. Some of us are, like myself, I'm a natural warrior. I'll fight, but I'm not giving up. I may get knocked down, but I'll get back up. I am not a quitter. God says you're an overcomer. The devil says you're a quitter. The question is, what say you? Are you going to live in a world where change takes over your life and you don't embrace change? Or are you going to embrace the change because God says that's good for you, so that you become more like Christ? You begin to move out of the way. You begin to see clearly spiritual realities. And you'll be able to recognize how the enemy uses other people to impede that. Satan is a spirit, and so is God. Satan needs a body, so does God. But God's body is bigger than Satan's. You see, we win. We win. We have the victory, guys. That's the ace in a hole that Satan doesn't want you to believe. Amen? Father, I just thank you for your word. God, I thank you that the impact of change in our lives, that we now understand better, God, how you allow change to come in to our lives, and how resistive we are to allowing you to bring that change. Father, I just ask in the name of Jesus that we get real with you, that we embrace these changes, but more than just embrace of God, we begin to flesh these changes out in our lives. That people would see Jesus more and more, that their attitude and behaviors towards us would change. That is the influence of the kingdom, God. They have to see the reality of what we are espousing. And it has to be real with us first, God, before it can be real to everyone else. I thank you for their attention, God. I ask that you bless them richly in their comings and goings, God, and that they begin to move in small steps, God, not to try to bring this totality of change, but in small steps. And as they change and allow the Holy Spirit to bring it, they would become victorious and they would become confident, God, in these changes. Lord, we want your vision. We want to see clearly. We want to have clear understanding how to appropriate your word, God. But the simplicity of it is one that is, we look for it to be super spiritual when it's super practical, God. We need to get the earthly things first before we can even begin to do the spiritual things. And change will bring that, God. I thank you and bless your people in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.